welcome to Comic Talk Today for Friday, August 31st, 2018. And this is the second time I'm recording this episode. I was going to put this episode out earlier today. And then last night I was talking to friend of the show, Aaron Bell from the Absolute DC podcast. And he shared some interesting things with me that I felt would be apropos to add to this episode. And so I decided I'm going to record this episode once again. And I'm putting this out now. And the topic of the episode is sort of like a, we'll say profits over entertainment. And that's kind of a loose way to say it really, because there's quite a few things that I'm going to talk about today in relation to these things. And, the whole topic for this episode, and this is an episode of The Rant, by the way, which I haven't done in a while because, there hasn't been too much making me angry. But one thing that has angered me a little bit is this whole Comicsgate thing. So this episode is a little loosely based on the Comicsgate going on. If you are one of the Comicsgate folks, then I hope you will still listen to this episode, because I think usually when usually people think that, hey, Martin's kind of a left-leaning guy, he's not going to understand what the hell I'm talking about. And for the most part, I don't agree with you. But I think there's some interesting going on right now in comics that I want to talk about. And it all stemmed from this article that I found on Bleeding Cool. And it was kind of a recap of a panel. I talked about the panel, the Terrificon panel that was posted on the Word Balloon podcast. And the panel centered mostly on C.B. Cebulski. And he had some things to say that I don't know if I necessarily agree with. So I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. And I'm kind of going to go through the quotes of the article, and kind of do my rebuttal points on that. And then after I talk about the Cebulski thing, I want to talk about this stuff that's going on over at Alterna as well, because I think that stuff is pretty interesting. So Cebulski had this to say: Marvel has always been, as Stan Lee always said, the world outside your window. Now that I can totally understand, right? Now I have a problem a little bit with this. There's some things that I think Stan said. Obviously I respect Stan, but there's some things that Stan said that I don't think necessarily apply as much anymore. Although there's things, you know, there's still things to learn from what Stan said. The world outside your window. Okay, now that I can totally get behind. Now, when you say that comics are the world outside your window, what does that usually mean? Well, of course, it would mean that you're trying to tell stories with generally superheroes, right? If we talk about Marvel, you're trying to tell stories that are kind of loosely based on events that are actually happening in our world. That, you know, if you look outside your window, you'll see, I don't know, the Empire State Building if you're in New York, or the Golden Gate Bridge if you're in San Francisco, or the Eiffel Tower if you're in Paris, you know, like one of those things. And of course, the world, the way that people react in this world would be pretty much like the way people react in our world as well, right? It's a reflection of modern times that we live in. Marvel has never shied away from doing that, around what happened with 9/11 and what we were doing with Secret Empire. Now, that's really interesting. I can't remember what Marvel was doing around 9/11, but I do remember Secret Empire, and of course, that's kind of a direct relation to a lot of the political climate, at least here in the U.S., right? Some people around the world may not see it the same, but there's interesting stuff going on around the world that somewhat mimics our political climate here in the U.S. So I could see that. And Nick Spencer, of course, was the right person to do that, because while Nick Spencer has been known to write some great comedy stuff in his comics, he is also a very political person, and it totally made sense. We're going to continue that tradition. There are a couple of comics coming up recently that are going to reflect things that are going on in the real world. I think we're seeing this right now, for example, with the current Captain America book written by Ta-Nehisi Coates, right? Where it's kind of an extension of what happened in Secret Empire, with Cap dealing with the events of Secret Empire. But there's a lot of stuff that is very, very much like in our world today. For example, the Russian interference into political events, right? We're not seeing like voting fraud or whatever it is, but there's definitely Russian interference into stuff in the U.S. in that book. Here's where things get interesting though. However, one of the things I want to make sure is that when we tell these stories, I don't know how to put this the right way, that's kind of the rub here, Mr. Cebulski, they still have to be entertaining. If we want to see the world, we can turn on CNN and we can turn on the TV. We can pick up a newspaper and see what's going on. And yes, it's our responsibility as a comic publisher, especially Marvel, given the history that we have, to reflect those times. But they still have to be fun. They still have to be fiction, and they still have to be escapism. Now, I partially agree with this statement. I do feel that escapism is kind of the central part of comics, right? because of the way things are going, in particular social media, I've seen this a lot on Twitter because, well, that's mostly what I use is Twitter. There's a lot of back and forth between creators and gators and left-leaning people, right-leaning people, centrist people, and it can get pretty heated sometimes. And there are a couple of creators that that take part in this more than others to try to explain why one side is wrong over the other, why their side is right over the other. And I think part of the problem is we're kind of stuck in a place where everyone feels their own opinion is the absolute opinion. And this is maybe a little too heavy for something to talk about on a comic book podcast, but I think it's important, right? Everyone always feels that their side is right, and that's totally understandable. That's human nature, so I do understand that. But oftentimes we do forget that comics are about escapism. I mean, I read a lot of comics, 25, 30 comics a week. I've said this many times. And part of the reason for that is, number one, I love the comic book medium. I think comics are one of the most entertaining forms of entertainment that are around. Even through TV and you know, internet streaming stuff, you know, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, whatever, all that stuff. Even through all that stuff, magazines, novels. I mean, I was an English major in college, so obviously, novels are very near and dear to my heart. I do read a lot of books as well, both in physical copies and digital copies. I do a lot of Audible stuff. But ultimately, I always come back to comics, and I consume comics the most of any other type of medium because I love the medium. There's something special about the comic book medium where you can meld written word with pictures. You know, the old saying is always like a picture's worth a thousand words. And yes, that's true, and maybe that's part of the reason why comics are a little more appealing to me, because you can say so much. You know, there's so many comics that, for example, I talked about Ice Cream Man a couple of weeks ago. Ice Cream Man is a great example of what makes the comic book medium such a great place, right? The last issue of Ice Cream Man was a completely silent issue. There were literally 10 words in the entire book. There was one introducing the book and one at the very end. And the entire issue was silent, and there was so much to say just on those words. And some might think, when they don't understand how the medium works, oh, well, yeah, the artist did a fantastic job on that. Like, what the hell was the writer doing? Because they don't understand. The writer wrote the script. And sure, the artist actually made those words come to fruition, but the writer has to set up the panels and indicate the action of the book, this, that, and the other. So it's a great example of what makes comics so great. And we are in a fantastic age of comics, by the way. I think there's right now probably more great comics than I have read in at least 15, 20 years. And so yes, escapism is exactly what I come for in comics. Okay. I deal a lot with the public. I'm on a computer a lot. And so when I get home, I don't really want to talk to anybody. I mean, obviously I have to, right? My family's at home. My wife's at home. My kids are at home. But I want to read some comics and try to get away from that every day. And I'm sure that's probably true for the majority of people listening to this podcast, or even people that read comics. It's important to escape, right? Life is hard. And when you have a medium that can really set you aside from that, make you see how things could be, it makes it very special. I mean, I love sci-fi. Sci-fi is my number one favorite genre. And part of the reason for that is I want more than what we have, right? I want to go to Mars. I want to go explore space. And right now we don't have that, right? But I can do that through my comics. It's important. But part of the statement is a little worrying to me. I'm going to get to that in a little bit more. We can't get too deep into politics. And the characters can take sides, choose sides, turn evil, turn back to good, but they still have to entertain. That's first and foremost, no matter what real world events are going to reflect. They're going to be fictionalized, and they're going to have the classic spin that Stan always bought to them. They will all be serious, but they may make you smile. Okay, that I can understand as well. However, we can't get too deep into politics. The reason for that, from the statements that I'm gathering in Cebulski, is Marvel doesn't really want to alienate any of their readers. And I can totally understand that, because Marvel is a for-profit business. And Disney is a publicly traded company, and the number one rule of a publicly traded company is to make the most amount of money for their shareholders. And those of you that listen to me on the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore may remember that I recently talked about this a couple of weeks ago, because I'm seeing some of this stuff in my real world job, where I feel like there are a lot of decisions that are being made for the company, for the employees, that don't necessarily reflect the best interest of the employees. It is more about cutting down corners in order to make the most amount of profits. And I can see that kind of in the environment that I work in. It's probably maybe necessary to do that. And of course, companies have to make money. But I think ultimately, some of this falls apart and it's counterintuitive to a company that creates entertainment. And part of the problem is Marvel has such a huge market share that they kind of have to abide by these laws, in particular by being owned by a large corporation like Disney. And, you know, I'm not going to single out Marvel. DC has the same problem, right? I think Marvel had 40% of the market share this past month. DC had like 32% roughly. So they still make up a large chunk of the market. And of course, being a large chunk of the market, they're going to drive ultimately what that market wants. Now, it may not always be what the readers want, and that's one of the problems I always talk about that I have when we look at comic book sales. And I'm not talking about comic book sales today. I might do that on the next episode. I wanted to do that this week, but I didn't get a chance to. You know, ultimately, with comic book sales, what we're seeing is a sell number for comic book shops, and not necessarily what people are actually reading. And we know for a fact that even when Venom sells, you know, 250,000 copies, there are not 250,000 people reading the book. In fact, now that we're in issue 5, we see that number has dropped quite drastically. So that's not the case, you know. And I often wonder how many people are actually reading comics, because it seems like a lot of the comic book market is being driven not necessarily by great stories, although that is important, and that's kind of what I look for. That's why oftentimes I will be more drawn to reading independent publishers over a Marvel or DC, even when I'm reading a lot of Marvel and DC. Because they, of course, have characters that I really love. But ultimately, what is driving those sales? It's probably people picking up variant covers, people wanting multiple copies of a particular important issue. Let's just say Batman 50, for example, even though I'm sure by now that's not going to be worth anything because there was no wedding. But for a while, right, that was what was driving the sales of that book. The book sold hundreds of thousands of copies. People were up in arms because they were planning their weddings on the release day of Batman 50, this, that, and the other. None of that happened. So what happens now? Well, obviously, Batman's not going to really drop in sales, right? They're just going to go back to normal because Batman has been the standard in comic sales for decades now. So it'll go back to doing, you know, whatever, 90,000 copies, 100,000 copies. What about the rest of the books? So they can't do that, right? And that's why you constantly see these relaunches. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. That's not part of the topic for today. The topic for today is putting these profits over the readership. And that seems to me kind of what's going on here in some way. We're going to get a little bit more into this when I talk about the Alterna stuff. But like I said, I understand that Marvel needs to make money. It's important that they keep their company afloat. They have bosses that they need to appease. They have shareholders that they need to appease. They need to make money for. So, of course, I get it. But what about people that just read comics to enjoy comics? Which I would say would be the majority of people. I mean, sometimes I get confused when I see all this garbage going on social media about, are people actually reading these comics? Because it seems to me, a lot of times, people aren't even reading the comics that they're arguing about. Do they even care about what they're reading, right? They don't pick up a book because somebody's writing it or somebody's drawing it. Oh, I don't like this person's political views. I'm not going to pick up that book. Well, is the character a character that you love? Is the character acting like the character that you love? That's kind of the question that you need to be asking. Is the art fantastic? Does it have nice covers to look at? Is the story interesting? Is it moving the character forward? Or are you one of those people that really just wants to see Captain America be the same guy he was in the 50s, 60s? And oftentimes, the people that are, I think, kind of following this train of thought may be kind of those people. And the problem is, because their voices are so loud, and there's so much emphasis on, I guess, expanding their reach, right? If somebody trolls you on the internet, I don't know what you do, but what I do is I'll interact with them just to see what kind of point they're trying to make. But when I see that they don't really have a point, so they're just trying to demean a particular thing that I'm trying to say, or that I particularly enjoy, then I just go ahead and ignore those people. Because the part of the reason these people are doing these kind of things is to gain attention. And if you give them more attention, then of course they're going to continue doing it. Now, part of the problem is, there's a lot of people that are actually paying attention to what these people are saying. And I'm talking about both sides, by the way. I'm not talking about just the comic gators. Okay? This is on both sides. Because ultimately, none of these people can find exactly what it is that they're trying to say. They're just spewing things out just to see what kind of the reaction that they'll get. And that's part of the problem. You know, I was on Twitter recently and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm having all these issues with Twitter because I'm seeing all this stuff. And even when I filter out particular words or mute out particular users, I'm still seeing their tweets because somebody else is retweeting them, or I'm still getting their opinions because somebody else is reiterating their opinions. And, you know, even if I mute a word, that word's still showing up in my timeline. I don't want to see it. Like, what the hell's happening? Do I just get away from Twitter? But that's not something that I want to do. I actually really enjoy Twitter because the majority of my interactions on Twitter are actually quite pleasant. Quite pleasant. And maybe I just haven't been exposed to the most vile of people on either of these sides. But there's plenty of people that listen to this podcast that follow me on Twitter that are both left-leaning and right-leaning. And oftentimes, I feel like we can come to some accord. Even if we disagree with each other's opinions, we can come to some middle ground where I respect your opinion, even if you think you're wrong. You respect my opinion if you think I'm wrong. And we can move on and enjoy the stuff that we really enjoy. And you know, when I was talking about all this stuff, Daryl Taylor from the Taylor Network of Podcasts, he's like, well, you know, you can't just bury your hand in the sand. And that's actually a pretty good point. And this has actually happened before everybody was saying the whole comics is for everyone kind of thing. But it's a great point. You can't bury your hand in the sand. But at the same time, how much can you possibly take of this stuff, right? When you can't filter it out. And maybe we shouldn't have to filter it out. And really, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have to filter it out. In fact, it wouldn't even be happening. But it does happen, right? So how do we deal with that kind of thing? And based on the stuff that Cebulski is kind of bringing up here, it seems to me like they don't really want to take the chance to tell particularly interesting stories because they don't want to get too political. And comics have always been political, right? That's the thing that always gets me. Is comics been political since the 30s when they started coming out, when they started becoming really popular, okay? They've always been political. Sometimes more on the nose politically than others. And why should that be any different now? In fact, I would argue that comics maybe should be more political now. Not necessarily because of the political situation that we're in on a day-to-day basis, right? Again, comics are escapism. So yes, maybe we should keep politics out of comics. But when these things are directly affecting the comic creators, of course the comic creators need to find a way to bring that out and talk about it. Because the problem is, when they go and talk about it on their social media accounts or do it on panels or whatever else, there's going to be some serious arguments. But by veiling these stories into their comics, maybe that's not always necessarily the case. Maybe they're able to get some of that inner aggression out for things they can't publicly say or don't want to publicly say at the risk of really alienating people. Right? Because really, I mean, I get it. You don't want to alienate your crowd. You want people to read your books. But at the same time, shouldn't we be able to say, and I use the royal we here, I'm not a comic book creator, but shouldn't we be able to say, hey, I don't agree with this thing, I'm going to write about it. That's the way it's always been done in literature. And just because these are comics, these are funny books, doesn't mean that creators shouldn't be able to say those kind of things in their comics. Some of the best comics happen when creators pour their heart and soul, their inner workings, into the stories that they write. Because it's something that they can relate to. Something that they know. Something they understand. And it makes the stories better. And by avoiding some of these things in comics, it seems to me like Marvel is putting profits over their readership. Because maybe it's more important to not have these people read your comics than to let them read comics and say that they're mediocre. Because the stories aren't that great. Or this, that, or the other. Which is more important? I don't know. It's a tough question and one I can't answer. But I don't know if Marvel's really going about this the right way. Maybe they are as a publisher because, of course, they need to protect their assets. They need to protect their investors. But what about the people that are really wanting to read this stuff? I would say the majority of people don't have these crazy viewpoints. Maybe they don't even care about the politics and comics. They just want to read their comics and enjoy them. And that's what I want to do. But it's hard to do sometimes when you have all this noise going on in the background. Which now leads me to this whole situation with Alterna, because for one, I want to talk about this because not a lot of people read Alterna comics to begin with, right? I don't even know if they're listed on the top 10 whatever publishers, whatever Comic-Con puts out, whatever Diamond puts out. I don't even know if they have even 1% of the market share. I don't think they do. I will say before I continue, I love Alterna Comics. I think they put out some fantastic work. And they're very affordable, right? Because all their comics are $1.50. And I mean, who would not want to buy books for $1.50? I mean, you can buy 3 or 4 books, 6 books sometimes for the price of a Marvel number one, right? So yeah, hell yeah, I want to read $1.50 books. They may not have Spider-Man or Batman or whatever else people are into, but they're really good stories. And sure, the paper's not the best, but I mean, you're paying $1.50, so how much are you expecting? Anyways, due to all this stuff going on, as of late, the back and forth between the left and the right, the comics gators and the non-gators, Alterna decided to put out an official social media policy, which I thought was actually quite interesting. I'm going to read this social media code of conduct. You're required and encouraged to actively promote your title on social media. Now, this makes perfect sense to me. And of course, which creator would not want to actively promote their title on social media? I often wonder, like, how many people actually on Twitter or whatever, promoting things, talking about things, are regular people, right? Because I look at, like, my timeline on Twitter, and Facebook's a little bit different because a lot of people use that for family stuff, but, like, Instagram, for example, how many people are actually, like, people you know, that you've met, that you have regular, friendly interactions with, right? I mean, outside of Facebook, I would say most of those interactions are not necessarily with those kind of people. Right? So like, there's a lot of podcasts. All those podcasts have Twitter accounts. They talk to their listenership. YouTubers, they talk to their viewership. So, you know, with comic creators, of course it makes perfect sense. You have to actively promote your title. I like this. This is good. So far, so good. However, we do not condone the use of block bots, blind blocking, blockchains, or any other kind of program or practice that is used to block thousands of people blindly en masse. Okay. I mean, I could see that, right? If you want to get your book out and promote it, if you're actively using black bots to get rid of some of these people based on keywords or ideology or whatever, demographics, that makes perfect sense. But what about when it's people that are attacking you and they're hashtagging everything, whatever, Comicsgate? How about that? Can you just blind block all those people? Well, I mean, you could, but then they could just quit using the hashtag and then they're not blocked anymore. So you would find other ways to block these people. Okay. I mean, this one's kind of iffy. We acknowledge that unpleasant experiences with social media sadly do occur, and creators can block mute individuals if they have those unwanted and poor experiences with them. Of course, if I am a creator and somebody tells me, you suck, I hate you, and I hate your book, I have every right to block those people. I mean, we're in the U.S., it's still a free country for now, so why not? But due to the fact that you would be part of a creative team at Alterna and a team of retailers would need to be able to confidently sell your books to as many people as possible, we have adopted a policy that discourages the use of anything that would directly affect our stance of full inclusion for readers and creators. Now, here's where we start having a little bit of a problem. We have readers of all walks of life, and it is paramount to us that we encourage, promote, and stand by our stance that comics are for everyone. Yes, comics are for everyone, but not every comic is for everyone. That is the most important thing here. Anybody can go to a comic shop and pick up a comic book. Anybody can go to DCBS, or go to Comixology, or go to Amazon, or your local bookstore, or whatever else, pick up whatever trade you want, whatever single comic you want. But that does not mean that every one of those people will like your comic, or your trade paperback, or your original graphic novel, or whatever other kind of piece of entertainment you create. This podcast even. Just because I put this podcast out for everyone doesn't mean that everyone likes it. And I'm totally okay with that. I don't expect everyone to like it. What I expect is the people that listen to the podcast learn something, they're able to have some kind of discussion with it, they interact with me in some way, but that ultimately we can have some kind of middle ground that we share. Right? Because, again, I love comics. You listen to this podcast because you love comics. Maybe you partially listen to this podcast because you agree with some of the things I say. And maybe sometimes you don't. And we can have a discussion about this. I'm okay. I've done this many times. I often do long chains of comments on Twitter with people that agree or disagree with what I say. And I'm fine with it. And it never gets out of hand. However, the problem here is that at Alterna, nobody is an employee of Alterna. Everyone is a freelance creator. Now, you can say the same thing for pretty much every other publisher, I would say, right? I think with DC and Marvel, maybe it gets a little bit murkier because then you have exclusivity contracts in which you are in some ways representing the company. Now, I don't know the intricacies of any of these deals, so I don't know when you would stop considering somebody a freelancer and consider them an actual employee of the company, but from my understanding, the way these contracts works is that ultimately everybody that works for any publisher is a freelancer. And more so, I would say, for an independent publisher. Because when you're working for Marvel or DC, you are working on properties that are established and owned by a particular company. Whereas when you work for a smaller publisher, say Alterna, or Aftershock, or Vault, or Black Mask, of any of the other companies, you are the one that owns that content. So there is no reason why this company should be able to tell any of their creators, hey, you cannot do this because it reflects badly on our company. Well, ultimately, then it's the company's responsibility to decide, hey, I'm going to publish this or not publish this. Because the companies, for independence, do not pay any upfront costs for anything that the creators are doing on their books. Right? So if I decide to write a comic book, I'm taking my own time where I could be off doing whatever, making money at a quote-unquote real job. I'm taking that amount of time and putting into writing my comic. Then I'm giving it to an artist who is not doing a project somewhere else, not doing, I don't know, graphic design or whatever, not working at the marketing company, not doing whatever else to work on my comic. They, of course, need to get paid. And then you have your inker, your colorist, you have an editor, because a lot of these companies don't provide editing either, right? As a creator, you would have to, once your book is completed, give it to an editor to edit it, to look at it, say, hey, you should change this, change that, change the other. None of this has anything to do with the publisher. Once the work is completed, then the publisher would say, okay, we're going to put out this comic. But ultimately, that's the only responsibility that the publisher has, is to decide, yes, I will publish this, no, I will not publish this. That's when they're able to decide, does this fit into the creative vision of this company, or does it not? Will it get us a new readership, or will it not? Will it alienate our readership, or will it not? We had that recently. I talked about it, 2-3 months ago. It was when the podcast was pretty early on. One of the publishers had decided they were going to publish the Indiegogo-funded Diversity in Comics comic. And a lot of comic shops were like, hey, look, you put this book out, we're not going to order it, and we're also not going to order any of the other comics. That is the comic shop's right to do so. Just like it is the publisher's right to decide if they want to put that work out or not. As a creator, if you have poor experiences with anyone in relation to your work, online or otherwise, and you feel that you are being threatened, please reach out to us and we'll do everything within our power to work with you on how to handle the situation. Well, I mean, why should you have to do that as a publisher, first of all? You don't have to do that because you're not paying these people. They're freelancers. They're already promoting their own work. So if they have a problem with somebody, that they're being threatened, because some of these people do threaten physical harm, sometimes even death, whether that's actually something that would go through is, you know, kind of a different story. But why should they get involved? If this could all be resolved one-on-one between the creator and whoever's threatening them. In fact, I have a couple of tweets here from creators. Jim Campbell at Campbell Letters. I'm aware of multiple instances where publicly criticizing DNC/CG or running a Twitter blockchain on their followers has got people fired from projects from Alterna. Your actions speak louder than words, and you choose to stand with bigots and hate mongers. That's pretty interesting. I don't know if there's a way to prove that, but pretty interesting thoughts. Dave Scheit said, hi, creators should be able to protect themselves from harassment however way they see fit. Absolutely. You need us more than we need you, and that is the key thing I think that some of these publishers are forgetting. You need us more than we need you. The quote-unquote company regularly retweets Comicsgate supporters, and this essentially shows their allegiance. It's embarrassing and gross. Okay, well, I mean, I don't know that, so I can't attest to that. All I'm going by is the new social media policy. And every company has a social media policy. I mean, I have one, right? I'm not allowed to be on social media in work hours. Makes perfect sense. If I'm at work, then I should be working, not be on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. The difference is I'm not a freelance employee. These guys are all freelancers. So they should be able to do whatever the hell they want with their time whenever they want to do it. Now, this leads to the kind of the final thing that I want to talk about is, how do I feel about these things, and will it impact the way that I look at these companies? Because when these things come from higher up, you know, as they say in part of my language, shit rolls downhill. Do I want to just not buy a Marvel book because I feel like the stance that they have is something I disagree with? And I thought about this before, by the way, because I don't disagree, or I don't agree with, like, Perlmutter, for example, his political views, the head of Marvel, yet I still love Marvel comics because they have comics that I love and enjoy. What about with Alterna? Do I just not care to read their books because the company has instated this crazy policy that I think is counterintuitive to the things that they want to say? And I know Alterna kind of did some follow-up tweets and said, hey, you know, like, the key to this thing is we acknowledge that these things happen. We don't want people to feel threatened. Well, yes, you are emphasizing that. But the point is, that's not necessarily what your policy says. And to me, that's a problem. That's a problem. And it's not one that's easily fixed unless companies take a stance. And the only stance to me that should be taken is, if these people are threatening our creators, then you have every right to do whatever you feel you need to do to get them out of your way, to not impact the way that you work, to not impact the creation of the comics. If that means that we sell less comics because these people that are hating on everything that we're doing are preventing you from doing the best work that you can, then so be it. That, to me, is the only way to look at this. Because if people are hating these things, guess what? If they're still buying your books, they're hypocrites. And all they're doing is trolling people and trying to get attention. And ultimately, I think that's exactly what's happening, is all these people want to do is get attention. They don't want to fix anything. They don't want to fix anything. All they want to do is complain about something, because now they feel like they have the power to complain, because social media is cheap and easy, and they can hide behind a username that nobody knows about. Anyways, I want to know what your thoughts are on this. I know this was a little more serious kind of episode than I usually do. I've wanted to talk about this whole thing for quite a while, and I always think to myself, look, I don't want to do this because I know a lot of people just don't care to listen to it. But the thing is, maybe we should be listening to it. Maybe the only way to fix this thing is to actually put some emphasis on it and try to fix it, not just turn a blind eye on the whole situation. You want to get in touch with me, whether you love this episode or you hated it, that's fine. I'm going to tell you, if you start coming at me and threatening me, I will block you. I have no problem doing that. But if you want to have a friendly conversation on why you disagree with everything that I said, you can find me on Twitter, @GeekFine. You can write me a super long email, nerdylegion@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back on the next one.